So, in a world where, you know, you can do that movie trailer voice during Oscar week. Seriously? In a world full of tension in Ukraine, Venezuela, and the Middle East, Thailand, Brazil, when even Crimea is back in the news, does it make sense for some U.S. ambassadors to be cushy political appointee positions, rewarded for helping to elect candidates? The granting of ambassadorial gifts with assignments to nations out of traditional conflict zones is an old tradition in American politics, but one organization concerned about the standards for U.S. diplomats may have had enough of this sort of thing. The American Foreign Service Association has demanded that any ambassadorial appointees have, quote, experience in or with the host country, as well as, quote, knowledge of the host country, culture, and language. Now, those sound like fairly minimal standards, but the group has decided to meet next week to decide on possible further action. And joining us now is American Foreign Service Association President Robert Silverman. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, John.
So what is it that kind of pushed you over the edge here? Is it something in the Obama administration, or has this been building for a while?
Well, thank you for having me here, and thank you for asking that question. I want to be clear that the impetus for this new initiative by the American Foreign Service Association was not the recent nominations by the Obama administration, by the president. Rather, this is a longstanding problem, and we convened a working group of 10 former ambassadors earlier this fall, long before the recent nominations were announced, to come up with a list of easy-understood, common-sense guidelines that could be used by the White House in the nomination process, by the Senate in the confirmation process, and that could be transparent and open to the American public, because these jobs, the ambassador jobs overseas, as you pointed out, are so important.
And by this standard, and, you know, we've got two of them that I mentioned, and you might take further action next week, experience in or with the host country and knowledge of the host country, culture and language. By those standards, this nominee, Noah Bryson Mamet, being questioned here by Senator Marco Rubio, would clearly not qualify. Listen.
Mr. Mamet, have you been to Argentina?
Senator, I haven't had the opportunity yet to be there. I've traveled pretty extensively around the world, but I haven't yet had a chance.
So he's disqualified, right?
That's not for me to say. That is really the job of the Senate to provide advice and consent to the president, as the Constitution states, on these nominations. I will say my organization is concerned. We represent the career diplomats, and we are meeting next week to discuss what we might or might not say about individual nominations. I don't want to prejudge that, but yes, we have concerns, and they're not unique to these individuals, including Mr. Mehmet. But we want to make sure that all nominees, and by the way, we include career diplomats, should be subject to the same high standards, and of course, political appointees. Let me add that our country is unique in sending a mix of career diplomats and political appointees overseas as ambassadors to represent us. No other country does that. All other countries send professionals when they send, particularly to the United States, but to their embassies overseas, they uniformly send career professionals. We're the outlier that we send a mix of people. And so the Professional Association wants to ensure and wants to provide guidance, and that's why they're called guidelines rather than criteria or, you know, to the people in the nomination process and in the confirmation process to ensure that everyone meets minimal guidelines.
All right. So then, and I'm going to play you another clip. This is George Sunes, who's an ambassadorial candidate to Norway, being questioned by John McCain. So this sort of interaction that we're about to hear really goes to this question of how pillorying these political appointees in public in front of Congress reflects badly on the career diplomats, who are actually a completely different category, are very, very well trained, and in many cases, you know, people very, very familiar with the nations that they're assigned to. Here, listen to this exchange.
Although I will tell you, Norway has been very quick to denounce them.
The government has denounced them? The coalition government, they're part of the coalition of the government.
Well, I would say, you know what,
I stand corrected.
Now, Senator McCain went on to very, very sarcastically describe him as well qualified. Right. You know, the idea that the ambassador gets caught in an error and has to rely on the career diplomats around him, that's a fairly normal dynamic in American diplomacy, yes?
Yes, and I would say that being calm and composed under pressure is an important qualification for an ambassador. And if you look at our guidelines, it does talk, as you mentioned, John, about knowing something about the country to which you're going to and having international experience. It also talks about leadership, the ability to perform well under pressure. And so I think those hearings are very, very important indication of qualifications. They are for professionals as well as political appointees. And so we want everyone subject to the same standards. Let me just add that our guidelines supplement the existing law. The U.S. law on this is quite clear because, again, this is not unique to the Obama administration. This problem is longstanding. And the problem of political appointee ambassadors with no prior experience now running our overseas embassies and leading our engagement with foreign governments.
But you wouldn't say that it is impossible for someone who is a campaign contributor to also be an expert in a country where they end up asking to be or wanting to be assigned as an ambassador. That's conceivable, right? One doesn't exclude the other.
John, you're right. That's conceivable. But the law is quite clear on this, and the U.S. law. And it states, Foreign Service Act of 1980 states that campaign contributions are not a qualification for the job of chief of mission or ambassador. They are not a qualification. So, yes, if the person has other qualifications that would give people confidence in that selection, yes, it's possible. It doesn't rule it out.
But Robert, let me ask you a very blunt question.
Sure.
You don't have to accuse anybody, and I don't want any names,
sure.
But do names come to mind when I ask you the question, has anyone in your knowledge bought an ambassadorship in your experience in Washington?
Well, that would be a crime, and so I'm not going to opine on that. I mean, the federal law is quite clear, and it's outside my area of expertise. What I can say is a career diplomat, I know I've served in Iraq in 2003 and 2004. I've served overseas 9 times in foreign embassies, that political appointee ambassadors can be successful and can do a good job, but they need to be qualified. Our takeaway is ambassadors, all of them, career and political appointees, need to be qualified. They're so important, and the American people and the president deserve the most effective senior representatives overseas. The law is clear that campaign contributions are not a qualification, and we've provided some guidelines to help in this process based on the collective experience of very senior ambassadors who have served over 8 administrations.
Well, good luck. Good luck next week figuring out some more guidelines as you attempt to clarify all of this. Robert Silverman is president of the American Foreign Service Association. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.